Welcome to the Ignited Entrepreneurs Podcast. Each week, join host Jessica Coulthard as she talks with amazing entrepreneurs and discovers the fuel they use to ignite their businesses so you can rocket yours straight to the next level. And now, here's your host, Jessica Coulthard.
Welcome to another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs. Today, I have Chandra Lin. She's a transformational coach and founder of Glow Living. Now, this is going to be a super fun interview for me because Chandra and I have taken the same training. So we're going to be geeking out a little bit. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Chandra, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jessica. And hello, everyone. So good to be here.
I'm so excited. Okay, so please, I mean, I've had an amazing opportunity to get to know you a couple times through some of our conversations, but our listeners may not know who you are. So can you please share who you are and what you do?
Let's see. I'm a human being full of light and energy and love. No. Okay, you can see I'm being a silly mood anyway, but I would love to just let people know that I am best described as a mompreneur. I'm a single mom that has two businesses. The first one I have had since January of 2000 as a marketing consultant for a company I call Glow Marketing. And in doing that, I've worked in the music industry and for a lot of brands and celebrities. So a lot of people like to talk about my background with that who are interested in, you know, creating a business or working with brands or even developing a personal brand as an entrepreneur. And so we can certainly, you know, weave around our conversation to give people tips on, you know, what that's like and how to move forward with their personal branding and things based on my experience working as a marketing consultant. But as you indicated, I went back to school, you know, recreated that beginner's mind and got a coaching certificate from the Robbins Madonna Center for Strategic Intervention. And that was in 2011. And I think I got my certificate in 2014. So this is not, I want people to know that this is not one of those Udemy certifications that you can get for $18.99. You know, this is a very powerful program that takes years. And it's now an accredited program where they're offering a board certification that I'm working on. So that's recognized in, you know, internationally. And so I had to spend the rest of my time figuring out how I was going to straddle two worlds, one marketing and one life coaching, life and career coaching. And I don't think that I successfully balanced both until recently. I think recently I started to realize how I'm able to take my experience as a marketing professional working in the business world and helping entrepreneurs, because the entrepreneur game, you know, gets personal. So I think that, you know, doing life and career coaching and helping in that way has been the most transformative for people. So I'm excited to be able to bring those worlds together and offer a course called Root to Rise. And that's hopefully going to be part of my legacy one day. And it does have some of the methodology from our training program weaved into it, along with yoga philosophy and nature-based wisdom. So that's a nutshell. But of course, there's always so much more, right? More to people.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things I love is I love to be able to kind of go back to the beginning. So can you tell us a little bit of your history? Like, I know when we talked before, you know, your grandparents had, they were both psychologists, I believe.
Mm-hmm. They were.
Yeah. So I find it interesting that there's that foundation for you and that you now eventually end up coaching and helping people. So how did that whole transition and how did that affect you?
Well, candidly, I think that when I was younger, I wasn't quite ready to embrace my psychological roots, you know, so to speak. And I talk about roots a lot, so everybody get ready. One of the things is my grandparents were psychologists and they were really my most impactful mentors, you know, as far as what I just, well, and my father. And so as far as like what I decided to do for my career, But the thing is that they wanted to groom me for their business. And, oh, I could see you taking over our clients, our cases and stuff. And I think I shied away from it because at a young age, I had a lot of empathy and I just had no idea how to create psychic protections for myself around the, you know, all this heavy stuff that people go through and get counseled on. And I think I just needed more life experience. I also am very creative and relationship oriented and things, and marketing just appealed to me because it had a business framework for bringing all that in. You do actually need to know a lot about psychology to be good at marketing. And so I think it was just the next best thing for me. But as an adult, you know, my 40s, I started reconnecting with my roots and saying, you know, I'm really compelled now to go back and learn more about psychology. And I looked into going and getting a master's and, you know, following that track, but I already had an MBA. And when I contacted the school about going back to school, they were like, you basically have to start from scratch. So having an MBA didn't really help me get an MA in psychology. So I decided to go the route of coaching instead. I wanted to fast track myself and just get right into it. And so, yeah, that was kind of the beginnings of it all. It was probably when I was 13, 14 years old, you know, having deep conversations with my grandparents about life and realizing that it was running in through my blood.
I love it. You know, and I love how, you know, the beginnings tend to show back up, right? Mm-hmm. I've noticed that in my life, like when I look back over my life, especially since going through the training, the Robbins Medonis training, because that's what they do. A lot of it is looking back and really exploring. And so when I went through that training, I got the opportunity to go back and do that. And it was just, wow, I had all these little epiphanies and like moments of, wow, that makes so much sense now. And did you find that through your training and just through, you know, recognizing that coaching was where you wanted to go?
I think that everybody always, oh, you're just like your grandmother, you know? And so it was always there for me. It wasn't really a discovery through the program as much as it was a framework that allowed me to feel confident to offer something of value that really worked for me. When I first went into the program, I think I was really looking at doing it not for a career at all. I was looking at doing it for my own personal growth and development. You know, throughout my life, I've always looked for different influences and to study different philosophies. I was just kind of ready for what's next, kind of like you know, growth minded. What was I going to study? And it just appealed to me at the time. And I just said, well, I'll go all in, you know, pushed in the chips and said, let's do this. And in the process of doing it, I think that I started noticing how much it was truly helping not only myself, but the people around me. That I remember this one time I was on an airplane flying to Texas for a conference. And I was sitting next to this woman and we just got into this deep conversation. I was super high on coaching at that time. I was in the thick of the training and we kept in touch a bit on Facebook and whatnot. She ended up writing me a physical letter talking about how much that one conversation on the airplane transformed her life. And she just laid out all these huge life changes that she went through since we met. And of course I wrote her back and said, you know, it's really you all along. And you were just so ready, you know, to hear what I was saying. But, you know, I could see from those kind of indications that it was truly powerful and that I was definitely a vehicle for that transformation for people, because I know that I was delivering it in my unique style with a blend of not only that, but, you know, other philosophies and influences that I've had. And that's kind of what makes me unique in terms of my coaching style, is I don't see myself as just a Robbins Medonis coach. I see myself as, you know, taking that and then leveraging it and then integrating all these other things and then just kind of coming up with my new way. You probably experienced that too, have you not?
Oh, absolutely. And you can't help it because, you know, I truly believe that we process things, like information comes in, we process it, and then it comes out through all of us, like our experiences and the way we see the world. And so then it automatically comes out in a completely different way than it went in.
Yeah, that's our lens. And I think that there's going to be a certain number of people that will resonate with it. And when I, you know, because some entrepreneurs will ask me about imposter syndrome, you know, how do I know that I have something to offer? Or, well, where did I get that influence? And maybe it's just not even mine. And do I have any original thought? And, you know, things like that come up, especially with coaches. And I realize that there is no one person that's going to be a replica of someone else or their teacher. We all, because of this way that we look through these unique lenses, have something unique to offer. And I could be teaching something exactly as trained by Tony, for example, and there's going to be some people that are just attracted to hearing it from me. And then there's just going to be some people that can't hear me at all and are attracted to hearing it from him. And that's why I believe in abundance. I don't believe that, you know, that only one person is going to be able to succeed in that area. I think that it's because of this, that people will find the people they resonate with. And we all have our own different tribes or influences that we can make a difference in.
Absolutely. I'm with you. I don't believe in competition either. I believe that we all have our own specific message that we're supposed to share. And the people that are meant to hear our message are the ones that'll be attracted to us.
Exactly. And I love meeting people that are like-minded like yourself. You know, it's because it helps reinforce all of these things for sure, and these shared experiences, but it also can help me feel like when I need help, there's somebody that gets me and that I can turn to. And I think that's what's great about coaching. And we do have different techniques and skill sets and experiences that can lend itself uniquely to helping each other. And that's what I think it's really about, is, you know, helping each other, because everybody's got wisdom inside. And it's just a matter of, like we talked about earlier, unlocking it and making it, you know, available to share to those people who are ready to hear it.
Yeah. And one of the things that I love is what you've done with, you know, you and I both received the same information on human needs, but yet we've both taken it and now we present it to the world differently. You present it through your Roots to Rise program. I just call it why you do everything you do, right? So we've approached it differently. We've put it back out into the world differently, but it's basically the same information. It's just now, how can I share it, what resonates with me to be able to share to the world, and then same with you. So on that subject, can you share what Roots to Rise is?
Yes. Well, currently it's an online course and I'm working on a book version, it's a self-help course. And basically it's the name of Roots to Rise started in yoga class. I have this great teacher, Kristen Desange, and now she is a partner in my Own Your Throne program, But What I learned was that this kind of principle, let's just say yoga principle, of rooting down in order to rise up, what it basically is saying is that we need to create a stable foundation for ourselves in order to have that organic extension to, you know, reach to our highest potential. And I think that when I started seeing how that could be utilized, not just in physical yoga poses, like the tree pose is the classic example of Roots to Rise. You have to root into your feet, imagine those roots going into the ground in order to lengthen and extend, you know, and have your arms above your head and reaching out and everything else. But that same thing can apply to your life. So Roots to Rise is about the starting in your roots, looking at what your roots actually are. And how I've defined them is the different value areas of your life. So I call that the life root system. So how's your health and fitness? How are your relationships? How are your, you know, friends and family and your career? So these five sectors. And then I've added that layer of the human need psychology we're talking about to evaluate your root system, to figure out how you've been meeting your needs in healthy and unhealthy ways, to either nourish and grow your roots, or if they're in unhealthy ways, how those roots have been impacted and are potentially keeping you stuck. Then it moves on to clearing some of those obstacles and dealing with things like change and grief and, you know, lots of other stuff in order to then work on that piece of what I think the Robbins Madonna's program called emotional mastery, the triad. You know, I layered that with body, mind, and spirit. And, you know, kind of looking at different techniques for having a very centered core. And then finally, the rise where we get to envision our futures and connect to a higher purpose and start to contribute beyond ourselves and start working on leaving a legacy and start living that bucket list life. And that's what the Roots to Rise program is about. So
I love it. I absolutely love it. And it sounds like you have really taken a bunch of the different aspects of that training and made it yours and made it, I want to say softer, because in a lot of ways, the way that Tony delivers things is it can be a little harsh. It can be a little in your face. And I love
it. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. It could be the difference between masculine and feminine energy too. You know, he talks about that polarity. And that's, again, why I think that it might resonate with some people over others. And you know, some people just need to receive it in different tones. Nature-based, you know, in a lot of ways, the tree pose is, you know, like I said, a yoga pose that, you know, is very common. But there's ways to layer it, and how I've layered it is very much nature-based wisdom as well. And I think that that appeals to people because everybody, you know, can relate to nature and see the, you know, integrations that happen in nature and the patterns and the, you know, universal truths and all that kind of stuff. And so I think everybody I've talked to about the principles, it just really resonated with, because it really doesn't matter whether you're male or female or what demographic, you know, you fall into or what religion you believe in or where you geographically live and all that type of stuff. I think the nature-based wisdom really lands on everybody in a, like you said, a soft way, a way that makes them receptive to the teachings.
Well, and it's interesting because basically what you're doing is you're incorporating like a universal metaphor for people, which is another aspect of the training.
That's right. And I believe in unity. You know, I believe in universal truths and unity. And, you know, I think that the most difficult part of Root to Rise, making Root to Rise successful for me as an entrepreneur, has been the fact that it is for everybody. Because in marketing, you're trained to identify and own a niche, you know, to be able to communicate specifically to people. And what I've noticed about Root to Rise is that it's not so much about demographics as a niche, it's more about life stage. It's like, where are you at in your life right now? For example, are you in midlife and you're wondering why the dreams that you had for yourself in childhood haven't manifested? Or that maybe you've accomplished a lot, but you're still unfulfilled. And you're always wondering like, well, is this all there is? You know, I mean, there's lots of things that come up, you know, for us when we've led a certain amount of life experience and then realize that it, excuse me, doesn't feel like enough to make us feel complete. And of course, we're not complete. Our life isn't over, but we have the rest of our life to have to figure out and maybe look at differently. And like what Tony would say is updating your blueprint. And I think that that's what Root to Rise can do in a framework that is easy to follow along. And because of that nature-based wisdom, makes it real approachable.
Awesome. So I understand that you are going to be giving our audience a portion of this.
That's right. I'm glad you brought that up early. I realized when I'm just a really soft sell type of person. So I just want to say, you know, I'm not selling anything other than just a chance to look at this. You know, I would love your audience to benefit from it and let me know, you know, how did it land on them? But what I'd like to do is give the first part of Root to Rise, which I call Roots, surprisingly, out for free. And so what I'll do is I'll give you a code, and it's a very robust course. It was all in one, and I had to break it into two parts, Roots and Rise, in order to make it digestible for people. So the value is $8.97, and I'm just going to give that to your audience for free, because you seem to have the type of audience that is really, you know, of the same mindset, and I think they can truly benefit. And I'd love in exchange for just feedback, you know, what worked, what didn't, what landed, what more do they want? And then if they're really compelled, they can check out the Rise portion and keep going on their journey.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for that. I know, coming through the training and understanding, I mean, I don't know, I haven't been through it myself yet, but I can only imagine what must be in here. And I think that I really hope that people do understand the value of what you're giving them. Like, this can be transformational. This information changed my life, and it's allowed me, you know, not necessarily using it the same way that you do, but I use this with all my clients And it really is. I can do a 30-minute session with somebody after an assessment, and people come away like just with their minds blown. Like, this is very, very powerful information. So I really hope that everybody listening does take you up on that offer, because it alone can be life-changing.
I really appreciate you for saying that, because, and it almost brings tears to my eyes, because I think that what I've been frustrated with and trying to deal with is the fact that I feel like I have something here that is so powerful, and I just need the opportunity for people to try it on. You know, I just need people to see how it lands on them, because the work that I have done with it, because I actually workshopped this live. I've held workshops before the pandemic, of course, and I've put people through the course and received great feedback. And in fact, I have a lot of video testimonials available for that if people want to check it out. And I have a little promo video they can watch on the page that I'll give you a link to as well, just so they know what they're getting into. But I mean, the thing is that everybody who's come out of it has just been like, so amazed and so transformed and so, but how do you then get that out to more people, you know? And people also really need to show up to do the work. And, you know, I don't like to always call it work, because it also can be amazing and fun and inspiring and give you juice and give you, you know, mojo and all of that kind of stuff. But it does, because we start in the roots, you know, there's mud there. It can, you have to get through some difficult stuff. You've got to look at your life and be willing to be vulnerable and willing to be honest with yourself and willing to invest in yourself. And I think that's been the hurdle that I've had to get over, is people saying, wow, that sounds like an amazing course. Oh, I'd love to do it one day, but they're just not showing up for it in terms of being ready to take that personal responsibility for sticking to it and making the commitment. I'm not sure if you've had that experience. I mean, it sounds like you have a little bit different model, because you coach in person and you have these sessions and they commit to you. But have you ever just felt like you have all this magic and that it's just meant for so much more, so many more?
Oh my goodness, yes. Mm-hmm. This is where maybe we should switch into the personal branding side of your story, because this is where I struggle. Like, I'm like you, I feel like I stumbled onto magic. But trying to figure out how to put that out into the world so people get it, how powerful it is, and simple. It's really simple once you get into it, but you have to take the time. You have to put in the work. You have to be open. And I think with our busy, busy lifestyle, the bigger, better, more, what's next catalog shopping way of life, that people don't want to just stop and listen and recognize something when it hits them in the face and they're like, no, that's too good to be true. Or do you know what I mean? Like, I haven't quite figured out how to get the message across how powerful this can be in a way that people are prepared to hear it.
Yes. I know what you mean. Because, well, sometimes, have you ever had that experience where you start to write it up and it just sounds cheesy? Like, it'll, you know, unlock you. It'll set your higher self free, or like it'll transform, even just transform your life can sound now like a cliche term.
Blah, you know? blah, right?
And so I think that one of the ways that I've been able to do it successfully has been to, like I said, talk about, say, for example, this midlife stage or whatever life stage, you know, or a common occurrence happens that people can really relate to. Like, have you, you know, when you start to talk about a specific time period or frustration that people are dealing with, some people are going to just self-identify and go, oh, yeah, that's me. And then you can start to go, well, this is how this helps with that. And they can see the dots getting connected, because it's so specific to them, it feels like. But I think that what's challenging for us is that we know that we have some tools that can transform and help people with such a large variety of life situations and life challenges that it's hard to just pick one. So I have been focusing on midlife because it's where I am. You know, I'm 50 and I've been through a lot in my 40s with it, I think, and including leaving a 21-year relationship, having a teenage son, having my own business, leaving corporate. You know, there's been a lot I've experienced. And so I feel like I'm, you know, I can help people who've gone through that. And so I do think that being willing to tell my own story and be able to try to, you know, identify those commonalities with people is what really helps with the personal branding side. And I do have to tell you that I was the first one with all my marketing experience to put up a brand instead of my own personal identity first. Like I launched Glow Living, glowliving.com, my brand. And it wasn't really until I realized that people connect so much more deeply with a person than a brand that I realized that I had to step in front of my brand. And that's part of the reason why I'm doing a lot of podcast interviews and things right now, so that people can get to know me and not just Glow Living, but the person behind it. And I think that that took vulnerability and courage. And that's what I invite, you know, entrepreneurs to think about is if you're building a business and you have a brand that you're creating, you first have to decide what you're willing to share about yourself as the founder and what your mission is and what your beliefs are. And then you have to, you know, really clearly communicate what the brand stands for and what the brand promise is and all of that kind of thing, because that's how people relate.
I agree. And you know, it's funny. So when I first started my coaching business, I named it Just a Girl Like Me. And that resonated so strongly with me. And it was funny because there was two sides of the fence. I had people going, oh, that's so self-deprecating. Just a girl like you? Like, that's so self-deprecating. You're already taking a stab at yourself. And then there was the other people, once they got to know me, once they learned my story, once they, you know, felt my energy and heard me speak, they're like, oh, now I get it. Like, it is so you. Right. But it's interesting. I did an interview a couple of years ago with a lady who did not know me. We partnered up and it was like a challenge to interview somebody else in the group. And the more she talked to me and the more she asked me questions, it was so cool. Cause at the very end, that's what she said to me. She goes, you just live into the name of your company. And I was like, yeah, I do. Right. But I didn't do it intentionally. It was not, I don't want to take any credit for that. It was just, I felt so inspired to grab a hold of it and run with it. And it just worked.
That's really, really sweet. And it reminds me of this one time I was on a dating app and I think my title for myself was Just a Girl.
Ah, I love it. See, this is why we get along.
We're so similar in that regard. Well, you know, I think that, yes, people will relate to us once they get to know us. But the challenge with marketing is how do you even get that audience to begin with? And then how does that impact them? What do they get out of it? And I've definitely coached people to lead with the benefits that you can offer other people as opposed to, you know, your self and what you stand. Like, for example, instead of saying, I'm Chandra, I'm a transformation coach, I'm also a marketing consultant, I've had to, nobody cares. They want to know, well, what's in it for me? And so I think that we have to condition ourselves to be able to say, you know, I've worked with a lot of people that, you know, I've been able to help. And I know that I now have a program that helps people. You know what I mean? Like, you have to get into a different way of speaking instead of it being all about you. And you want that audience to go, well, it's only all about me, just so you can see if you resonate with me enough for me to talk about what I have for you. But then my suggestion is to reverse that and be like, here's how I can help you. And then here's a more of my backstory. But, you know, I think it depends on the what's natural and organic in the conversation and in the marketing too, and the vehicles that you're communicating through. So mm-hmm. I had this one friend who's a fellow marketing friend who gave me an exercise that has stuck with me for life. And it's changed all the way that I market. And she was like, okay, so wait, tell me what you're trying to do with Glow Living. And of course, I started on and on about what I was trying to do. And then she just stopped me mid-sentence and said, no, tell me in 5 words. And I was like, oh, okay. And I said, okay, I want to help people love life. And it was like, help people love life. 4 words. I did it in 4 words. But it was really like, okay, I want to help people love life. And when I landed on that, then I can tell my story about why. Why do I want to help people love life? Well, because if we're being real, it's not actually easy to love life. You know, I'm not a Pollyanna type of coach where everything is great. No, I'm saying, look, it's hard. It's hard to be, you know, all the programming we've received, all of the expectations we have, you know, to be superwomen and things like that. You know, there's reasons why we get challenged, you know, because it's not easy. I'm choosing to love life, and I'm using the different methodologies to help myself do that, to help myself out of spiraling into depression, out of feeding anxiety, out of all of these bad habits and patterns that are easy to fall into, because ultimately I'm choosing that I want to live this a life that I love. And so it became more of a story about then like how I struggled with depression as a teen and, you know, things like that. And how I realized even through the Tony program that I was quote unquote doing a depression to myself, you know, and that it was an action, not, I wasn't just a victim to it. I mean, chemical depression, I believe, is a little bit different. I think that when you're chemically depressed, there's more going on, but there's other patterns that bring about depression, you know, like the use of the triad that we learned taught me how to not be a victim to depression, and that there are real tools. And if you're resourceful, you can use them to help yourself, and you can have a chance at truly loving life. And I believe that, and I've experienced it myself. And so that's why it became a mission.
I love it. And something I was thinking about too, so back to the human needs and your Roots to Rise program, you know, a lot of times people are depressed because they're trying to meet a need. And when they can learn what that need is that they're trying to meet, they can change how they meet it, and they can change their life like that as well.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we've learned that everybody has to meet these needs one way or the other. And sometimes we might be meeting them at low levels just because we have to meet them in some way. And I have learned so many different ways that people meet their needs in unhealthy ways, or in ways that are like, say on a scale of 1 to 10, more like a level 5. It's not so horrible that you're compelled to change it, but it's not so great that, you know, you're happy. So you, a lot of people live in that just kind of like 4, 5, 6 zone. And it's just not enough to have the energy behind it. And Tony would say not enough pain to leverage themselves out of it. But sometimes, you know, it can also be a positive approach of showing what can be, how you can create such a more compelling life by meeting the need in healthier ways. That can also be a motivation for people.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we talked about when we did our pre-interview, and I honestly can't remember what the context was, but it intrigued me enough that I wanted to write it down, and it was sponge versus bubble. Can you remind me what that is?
Oh yeah. So I actually have a blog post that you guys can all go read about this, but it occurred to me that I was feeling super heavy and I was going, wow, I feel like I need to wring out the sponge. And I realized that that heavy, weighted, dark, negative feeling that was going on in my body was this accumulation of negative energy that I had absorbed as a result of coaching and dealing with, you know, a lot of heavy stuff. At the time I was coaching someone who originally I thought was, I was coaching early around a divorce, and then he had his brother pass away. And so I was actually doing grief coaching in tandem with the grief that comes from through a divorce. And so there was a lot of heavy grief going on, and he was just one of the clients. And I started realizing that I had not held up any psychic protections around my inner, you know, protecting my own energy. And I had instead absorbed it. I felt like just a heavy, dirty mop, you know, sponge that needed to be wrung out. And so I was thinking about a visualization that would be the opposite. And I remembered a teaching that one of my yoga teachers, in fact, I believe it was Kristen again, it's just an amazing woman, by the way. I can't even speak highly enough, and I'll tell you about her offerings if you're ever interested. But she talked about creating instead this kind of semi-permeable membrane, like a opalescent bubble around yourself that you can invite in energy, or you can allow energy to bounce off. So when you're going into something like a coaching session or a difficult conversation with a partner or a business associate or anybody, a family member, that you can visualize this bubble around you and you can keep it up. And it's usually about, like, if you put your hands out in front of your nose, kind of the long width from thumb to pinky end is about the distance that your bubble needs to be to create some psychic protections. And then you could go into that conversation deciding what you'd like to bounce off the bubble and what you would allow in, and in, whether it was healthy or not for you. And in doing that, you would prevent yourself from getting this really heavy weighted sponge vibe going. So what I did in this blog post was talk about different ways to help wring out the sponge and how to utilize that, you know, the psychic protection exercise of creating this bubble around you. And I think it really resonated with a lot of people because we don't often talk about, you know, ourselves energetically that way. And we don't always I don't know about you, but when I do communicate with people and I have empathy, I can absorb a lot of that really easily. And this is the exact same thing that I was afraid of when I was a teenager setting out on my career path and deciding not to follow my grandparents' footsteps as psychologists, because at that time I had no skills for how to deal with this kind of stuff and not let the weight of the world in and not let, you know, people's energies affect my energy and not to absorb all that stuff. Now, you know, sitting here at 50, I feel like I'm just starting to really be able to utilize these kinds of tools and techniques and learning how to do it in a way that allows me to keep my own cup full and constantly and consistently offering out, as opposed to worrying about managing my own emotional state all the time.
Yeah. Visualization is so powerful. So just knowing that you can create that for yourself and put that there is, it's so simple, but, you know, having somebody share that idea with you and put that out there, that's, you know, it's powerful. And people don't realize that they can use that anytime they want. If you're walking into a situation, say, you know, you're going to have a difficult conversation with somebody, you can do the same thing to kind of protect your energy, right?
That's right. And there's a lot of different practices for that, what I called that wringing out the sponge. I mean, there's lots of different ways that you can look at that. Some people will do sacred baths, you know, and use water therapies. Some people will do talk therapy. Some people journal. Some people meditate, do yoga, get some kind of heavy physical activity going, accomplish something on their to-do list. I mean, there's lots of ways that we can kind of work with this energy. And I think that it's really about first recognizing that, you know, like where you're actually at with your energy, and then figuring out the right, you know, tool or technique to be able to help you with it. Because we don't know, none of us want to walk around like heavy, wet, moppy, dirty sponges. You know, for me, that metaphor is what in that moment it felt like. But other people might come up with their own way of visualizing that, you know, I just think metaphors are really powerful. And I know that it was a technique that we learned in Robin's Madonis as well, with how strong metaphors can be.
Yeah.
So find your own metaphor. Yeah,
totally. Yeah. You have to find one that resonates with you. Right. I remember one of the trainings that Magli did, in the training, and she talked about before going into a coaching call, you sit and you pretend like you have a basket on your lap, and you pull out from that basket everything that you do not need when you're heading into that session. So whether it was an argument with your child, that doesn't need to be in my basket right now. And you can, you know, physically take it out of your basket and remove it. And I just still remember that. It was so powerful because it gave me control. It made me feel powerful in that moment to remove anything that I did not want to carry into that coaching session.
Yeah, I love that. And Kristen and I talk about holding the baskets for each other a lot. For example, I think what happens, especially as coaches or as anybody who feels like they really are excited to share their wisdom or that they are good problem solvers, they want to help. But sometimes we need to be invited to help, right? And we have to, you know, somebody might be telling us a problem And I found that the most effective way of helping them is actually to ask them for what they need. Are you looking for a solution? Would you like a reflection? Would you just like me to hold your basket? And holding the basket basically means, you know, creating space, allowing them to talk, allowing them to share and feel that they're supported and without judgment and without you trying to fix it for them, unless, you know, you're inviting them to it and they are accepting.
I love it. You know,
a
that was
a different version of the basket.
Yeah, but I love it. See, that's the thing is you can use it in any way that works for you, right? It's funny that you say that because I have a similar thing when I, you know, because we have training and we see the world differently now, can't really help it. You can't really turn that off. At least I can't. But I find people will come to me and they'll want my advice or they'll ask my opinion or they'll, you know, just come to me with a problem that they're having. And because I've done the training, I always want to help and fix and offer my value. And what I learned to do was, so for me, my visualization is like, I have two hats. So I picture like a baseball hat. And when a friend comes to me and asks for, or just shares something that's going on with their life, they're not even asking me for help, but they're just sharing, right? Like we all do our life with somebody. And I'll say to them, so am I your friend right now? Or am I your coach? And I almost imagine pulling this hat down and straightforward for my coach. And if they want my friend advice or me just to be a friend for them in that moment, I turn the hat sideways, kind of like my party hat, right? And that's me doing that shift for myself so I know how to approach the situation.
I think that's beautiful. And I was just thinking, you know, we can also create language around this for with our friends. You know, they could easily say, oh, can you put your coach hat on for me right now? You know, yeah. And then it gives you the cue. Oh, I can coach, you know? And I think the bottom line is really, it's about coaching with permission. And it's also, if you're not a coach and you're just a friend that wants to help, it's the same thing. It's coaching and, you know, offering wisdom, being that wise person by invitation, and that can go a long way. I think what I'll say is I would love to share something with you. Are you open to hearing it? Or would you like that? You know, would you like that input? Or, you know, just something like that, whatever is organic at the time. And it's that one question, honestly, that opens their heart and minds up to actually having it land on them in a more powerful way, because they have then recognized their own openness and their own willingness. It's kind of like, remember those E.F. Hutton commercials? It's like, when E.F. Hutton talks, everyone listens. Well, it's kind of like that. It's like, or when you start to whisper and all of a sudden people tune in a little bit more because they realize there's a change in, you know, oh, I got to hear this, you know, there's a whisper. And it's the same kind of thing. It's like asking that question. And then people are just showing up more alert and open and ready to receive.
And sometimes it even creates an awareness in themselves. It's like, oh, what do I want right here? Like, and why wouldn't I want the coaching answer? What am I protecting myself from? So it kind of creates an awareness in them too.
Right. Why do I have resistance to hearing this? You know?
And exactly.
I think that one little caution I'll say that I've experienced personally is that I'll find that I'm really good at doing that with my friends, but I'm not as good at doing that with my partner, because there's this just intimacy that's already been established where it's almost like you think you have permission to do it. And I've realized and recognized that even with the closest relationships, we still will improve the relationship by inviting people to our wisdom.
Yes, 100%. And the few relationships that I've had since going through this training, I'm finding that I'm really only attracted to people that want to have those kind of conversations. It's kind of interesting. Like, I want to learn from them and I want them to teach me and I want to be able to teach them and just have these like little banter moments. And I'm finding it really interesting who I'm choosing to come into my life now.
I understand that. And I think they're going to be choosing you because you are vibrating at that frequency. You are open to those kind of conversations and you have something quite honestly is going to level them up. You know, I think people who are growth minded are going to be attracted to that because they can see right away that they can learn something from you.
But I want to learn from them too. And that's always been my challenge, is trying to find somebody that has also done some work and can share with me. And that's what I love about doing this podcast, is I get the opportunity to talk to so many amazing people that have different experiences, different training, different ways of seeing things. And for me, this is one of the main reasons that I love doing the podcast, is because I get to learn, I get to level up by the conversations that I get to have with people.
Yeah, that's a great way to meet the need. And this is a perfect example of a healthy way to get the needs met. And think about all the needs that you're getting met. Honestly, it's more than growth.
Oh yeah.
You are getting love and connection. You know, you're getting connection and in spades. And I think you're helping other people. So that's, you know, your ability to
contribute. My contribution. Yeah.
Your contribution, which I've modified in my training to be a little bit more aligned to transcendence and transcending your own needs and some other things, but like, yes, your contribution. And I think your self-worth and your own significance is definitely playing a part, and you have variety because every guest is different, and mm-hmm. you have certainty because you have built this platform.
Thank you. Yeah. It's amazing how, you know, I hadn't even thought about it that way, actually, but it's interesting how we just automatically go towards what meets those needs. And luckily, this is one that does it in a positive way and hits so many of those needs, like you'd said.
Yes. And we can do the reverse. We can also have it be like, I think one of the examples that Tony used was, or maybe it was Mark and Magley, but it was about how food can meet all those needs and why sometimes people can fall into challenges with their eating and stuff like that, because it does serve all the needs at such high levels that we can have we could become food focused, for example, and that can kind of show up a bit heavy on the body or weigh down our health.
Yes.
So that we absolutely have to be mindful about how we're serving our needs from both positive and negative standpoints.
Yeah. It's not just about having them met. It's about meeting them in a positive, healthy way.
Exactly.
Okay. So I know we've been talking for a long time and I love it. I could keep on going forever with you, but I really want to talk about Own Your Throne.
Okay. Well, Own Your Throne is, this month is our 1 year since starting the program. We've developed monthly materials for women seeking soul sovereignty. So you know how it's kind of become gimmicky that women will talk about being a queen, you know, and we have a program that helps people really understand what being a queen means. And that part of being a queen is finding your sovereign center, you know, your self-esteem, your self-worth, your self-sourcing authority, all of that kind of thing, and using different aspects of yourself as your counsel. You know, just like King Arthur did with the Knights of the Round Table, he had these counsel, you know, he took them as counsel to make hard decisions about what he was going to do with fighting battles and everything else. We as queens have archetypes, these 12 archetypes that we can pull from in order to be able to counsel ourselves. And that's where that self-sourcing authority comes in. So we've been talking actually a lot about the archetype of the wise woman. The wise woman is the one with all of this knowledge and life experience, but doesn't just, you know, try to mentor people. That's a mentor is a different archetype. The wise woman is the one that, you know, invites people to the information and is the one that, you know, people will want to seek counsel from. And, you know, so we're embodying the wise woman without even calling it that. But what we did in this program, Own Your Throne, was break down one of the 12 archetypes every month so we could build these skills to counsel ourselves and to create that sovereignty from within so that we can make the best life decisions that we can for ourselves in the most empowering way. And we noticed that a lot of women were struggling with the same things. And so it was really exciting to be able to bring it together in a monthly membership program. But now that the 12 aspects have been done over the course of a year with a group and validated and everything, we are going to, in the new year, unlock the program as more of a do-it-yourself course that people can take. They don't have to do it. They don't have to wait the whole year to get access to the content now that it's been created. So we'll be making an announcement about that for those people. And then we'll still have some forums for people to connect and get to know each other. And you know, we're going to serve them through probably Facebook membership type of thing so that we could all stay connected.
Sounds amazing. I love the idea of having a woman's circle, like, especially like-minded, and we're all struggling with similar things in our life. Like you were saying, you cater mostly to kind of that 40s-ish woman who's kind of come up and gone, okay, really? Now what? This wasn't what I was expecting. Where do I go from here? And having a group of women that are all sort of in that same place, that same mindset, and yet wanting to do the work, willing to show up and do the work, so powerful.
It is beyond powerful. And they all have gifts and they all are wise women and they're all of the archetypes. And it just multiplies the power by so many. I mean, it's unbelievable to sit with other queens and know that they truly are queens and you know, kind of bowing to them energetically, knowing that you value what they have to say back and that their life experience, it's like is mirrored to your own, is what I was going to say. It's like this, when they're talking, you can hear yourself in them as well, because we there are all these ways that we're interconnected, and to feel deeply connected to other women, I actually believe is serving needs at such high levels that I've found that it's actually reduced some of the unhealthier needs that I've had for validation from the outside world.
Mm, I love it. You know, some of the times I think about myself growing up, I was introverted and tended to stay away from people and didn't really like to have those close connections. And I think a lot of it was just fear of like competing and being judged. And I love that now, like I'm 50 as well, and I've been working on this, you know, personal development and learning who I really am for the last 5 years. And what I'm finding is that those women, the ones that are on that self-development, self-awareness journey, we don't compete, we don't judge, we come together and we empower each other. And that's the kind of like world I want to live in with women.
That's fantastic. Well, I definitely have some women for you to meet. I think this is an area where I am just so blessed and so lucky. I have somehow called them in and they have shown up. It's been such a beautiful thing. I get so much out of it. I think sometimes, you know, it's hard for men to understand how powerful it is for us to have other women in our lives to fill us up. And, you know, for people listening who aren't really sure about how much they want to be vulnerable with other women, I just want to say that I grew up with three brothers. I ended up being in a relationship with a man and having a son. And working in the music industry. And when I was in marketing, I was primarily in the music industry, music technology, which is still very male dominated. And so in my career, my home life and my family, every root area I had was very male focused. And it took me making a conscious decision to connect with women in order to explore and benefit from this. It started with this, you know, single yoga class taught by Kristen, who I mentioned earlier. And we, you know, attracted in other women and we started to develop a format for us to come together outside of the physical practice. Because one of the challenges with yoga is that, of course, you're on your mat and you're not, unless you're chit-chatting before or after class, there's no real way to talk and get to know each other. So there has to be some kind of invite, right, afterwards. And so we started to invite each other to things and, you know, invite other people and to circle around it. And then she created an actual formal sister circle. And she went through a program to become an ordained priestess. She's now does astrology. She's, you know, expanded much further beyond being a yoga teacher. And so what she offered women in this circle grew. And that's part of why we decided to partner and do Own Your Throne, because you have, you know, a priestess, astrologer, yoga teacher meets a life and career coach. And I bring in a lot of that practical application. How does this, you know, really impact your life? And so it has a spiritual, you know, heart and a practical application. So it's been interesting. And I'm glad to hear that you're interested in those kind of things, because I'm seeing that more and more women are stepping up ready to form circles of their own or join circles. And it's just really about women supporting women. That's what it's really about at the end of the day.
I love it. And you know, it's funny when you were talking about, you know, growing up and surrounded by men mostly, that was me. Like, I'm going, oh my goodness, that's me. You know, I was such a tomboy. I had female friends, but I actually spent more time playing baseball and soccer with the dudes, you know. And my whole working career, I've worked in very, very male dominated industries. In fact, I'm usually the only girl in any job that I've been in. Even now, to this day, I still work full time, and I work in an electrical, I work for an electrical contractor, and it's like me and eight guys, and then the other 300 dudes that are out on the sites, right? And I'm like, come on, I need some feminine energy, please. And, you know, and I think for a long time, I didn't realize how much I needed it. And just the more I grow and the more I recognize who I really am and who I want to grow into, the more I realize that I do need that feminine energy, and I need to find mine, you know, not, and I think I buried it down. Like, some of the work, see, I'm going to go into the Tony stuff again, but one of the exercises that he did was talking about which of your parents did you need to get love from? Not who you loved more, but where were you trying to get the love from? And when I did that exercise, I recognized that it was my dad. And my whole life, my dad always said that he wanted to have boys. Well, he had two girls. So I became his boy, and I completely embodied that identity and that personality because I felt that's who I had to be to get his love. And it has rippled through my whole life. And now I'm realizing that I need women. I need feminine energy. And it's just, it's become this like super driving need for me. And that's why I think I'm really resonating with what you're doing with your women's circle right now.
Oh, that's great. Well, you're echoing some, one of my other friends had a very similar experience. Her dad was a strong influence in her life, and he wanted, you know, a male child. Actually, I've heard this from, now that I'm thinking about it, I have two friends that have this. That might be a program in itself, is, you know, helping women who have had that experience. I really think so, because I mean, think about it. You know, if you have a mom and a dad, and, you know, at least half are going to have needed love from their dad more than their mom. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you could probably create a whole course just for this. And I think that regardless, whether it was your mom or your dad, I mean, we all, women need each other because, you know, our history is not one that has been real, you know, supportive. The suffragette movement, the fact that we've only been voting for what, like 100 years, or there's been less, you know, less rights. I think we've had more rights come to us in the last 100 years, and they're still being threatened. It's ridiculous. I mean, we have not been free that long. And so I feel like, you know, we need each other more than ever. And there was a reason I think women weren't turning to other women, because they were put in a position of having to be competitive with men. And so therefore, there definitely wasn't room to have women. And so now I think people are starting to realize that with the support of fellow women, that they can achieve more and have their needs met in different ways than what was possible. So people are kind of rediscovering, you know, what I believe probably existed, or at least I've heard existed before, you know, all of this stuff in the political climate came to impact us, you know. Mm-hmm. Women used to tribe together a lot more.
Back when there was a village, when we had a village to raise our families, right?
Yeah, it took a village to raise us. Yeah. Now we all have to have our separate homes and households and, you know, barbecues and pools and everything else. And now, you know, it still takes a village. It's just that we have been trying to act like it doesn't, and that we could do it all.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wow, this has been way more than I ever expected. And thank you so much for, you know, going there with me and being so vulnerable and sharing. And it's been really amazing to spend this time with you. But
Thank you.
We need to mention where people can find you. So where's the best place for somebody to go and take a look at what it is that you're offering, your Roots to Rise, as well as your Own to Throne, or Own Your Throne? Where can people go to get more information on this?
Well, that's easy peasy. Just go to glowliving.com, glowliving.com. And, you know, it's all there. And even my contact details, you know, I'm very open and want to connect with people. So if there's any questions, you know, that come up, they can just email me at chandra@glowliving.com, chandra@glowliving.com. But I think that that's really the best source. I mean, I have my programs linked up, and they will need a code from you to be able to do the part one training for free though, because it's, I think it's currently discounted for a limited time on my website to help people with the, through the pandemic, but it's not free. It's like 75% off. So if we're going to do the full free offer, then I will give you a link to share from here.
Perfect. Good. And I will put that in the show notes. So everybody listening, go down to the show notes and get that link.
Thank you. And you know, and there's all the social medias, but everything's linked up from that website. So please do follow me and share. And you know, I've got YouTube videos and Instagram and all of that. I'm actually starting to embrace the idea of doing more Instagram lives and going the direction of IGTV. So I need encouragement on that. So yeah, definitely everybody follow and share.
Awesome. Okay. Now, before I let you go, I have to ask, if you were to give somebody a piece of advice to help them take their business to the next level, what would you suggest?
A business to the next level. I think that I'm just going to say, surprise, surprise, go back to your roots, why you're doing what you're doing, and ask yourself three questions. What are you doing? You know, in terms of how it helps other people and those benefits to others, why you're doing it. Why are you committed to it? Because there's probably a deeper reason. Either it was something that, you know, impacted you when you were young, it was a passion, or is it simply just you saw an opportunity and you want to, you know, capitalize on it. But I really recommend that your why be something that you're deeply passionate about. And then the third question is, what are you willing to do about it? And willingness relates to the depth of your commitment. So if you can answer those three questions for yourself, then you have the basis, you know, to evaluate whether to continue to invest in that business or whether to go a different direction. And then if you are willing to continue that direction, you'll understand the deeper roots and reasons why you're making the commitment that you're making. And being able to develop a plan from there, which should be a little bit easier.
Wonderful. I love it. Love it. Okay. Well, thank you so much again, Chandra, for spending this time with me on a Sunday. I really appreciate it. And honestly, I think I could probably have you back on and we could go for another hour.
I would love to do it. What's better on a Sunday? This is like self-care Sunday, just talking Woo-hoo! About it, right?
I love it.
I love your insights as well. And I bow to you as a teacher as well. You're a wise woman and I know that I can learn a lot from you, and together it's even more powerful. So that I think is the moral of the story, is that opening up to partnership, opening up to sisterhood, opening up to women, supporting women and doing everything we can to leverage that for each other is what the world needs.
Well, I can't say it better than that. So let's just end there. Amazing. Thank you. I bow to you as well.
Thank you, Jessica.
And that's another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs.